Again, Psalm 23, we're coming to the end of the psalm. Just a couple more weeks. Been looking at surely goodness and mercy. So follow me all the days of my life. What a blessing to know that. What a blessing to know that every single day, all the days of my life. We looked last week at some of the characteristics of God's mercy. It's plenteous, it's abundant, has a multiplicity about it. It's used in the plural several times. It's enduring. Endures our sin, our unworthiness. His mercy is the other side of grace. Where there is one, there is the other. It's like a two-sided coin. You really can't, though I do believe they're different, you can't really separate them. And God is declared to be both merciful and gracious, which shows me that they are different. But if he shows grace, he shows mercy. If he shows mercy, he shows grace. It's more of a matter of emphasis than anything else. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34, book of Exodus 34, and again, our only hope and the only hope for lost sinners is that God is merciful and gracious. That's man's only hope today. But in Exodus 34, verse 6, God revealing himself to Moses, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, "The Lord," that is Jehovah, "the Lord Jehovah, God Elohim, merciful and gracious," merciful and gracious, long suffering. That also goes along with God's grace and mercy. Wherever there's grace, there's long suffering. Wherever there's mercy, there's long suffering. Abundant in goodness and in truth. Merciful and gracious. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Notice verse 9. "For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion." That's something else that goes along with God's grace and mercy. "Before them that lead them captive, that they shall come again unto this land. For the Lord your God," the reason they'll come again unto this land, land of Canaan, is the Lord your God is gracious and merciful. That's always the reason. Because God is gracious and merciful. He will not turn his face away from you if you return unto him. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 17, about halfway through that verse, or the latter third of it, really. "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful." And again, ready to pardon is a stem of gracious and merciful. So notice there's an order in these verses. Sometimes it's God is merciful and gracious. Sometimes he's gracious and merciful. Again, it's a matter of where he's putting the emphasis. Slow to anger. That also is a characteristic of his grace. It's a characteristic of his mercy of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Verse 31, nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst utterly consume them, that is, their enemies, didst not utterly consume them themselves, nor forsake them, for thou art the reason. He didn't consume them as he's gracious. And he's a merciful God. Gracious and merciful, merciful and gracious. Psalm 116, verse 5. Psalm 116, verse 5. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Our God is merciful. The book of Jonah, chapter 4. Book of Jonah, chapter 4, verse 2. And he prayed, that is, Jonah did, unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. You see, God, Jonah hated the Ninevites, absolutely hated them. And he knew that if he went there, God would be gracious and merciful to Jonah, or to the Ninevites, and he didn't want that. He wanted God's wrath poured down upon Nineveh. Jonah's a pretty mixed up individual when you think about it. But he knew that God was gracious. He knew that God was merciful. And we must never get in the mindset, if we know God has been gracious and merciful to us, then that's what we ought to desire on behalf of others. He's slow to anger. He's of great kindness. So he's gracious. He is merciful. He is merciful. He is gracious. Two attributes, very closely related, but not the same. They're not the same thing. Though where you see one, you see the other. And as we've explained many times, grace, of course, is God giving us what we do not deserve. That's grace. God giving us what we do not deserve. God gave us repentance. We didn't deserve that. God gave us faith. We didn't deserve that. God gave us salvation. We didn't deserve that. Mercy is God withholding what we do deserve. When God gave us salvation, at the same time, he withheld the wrath that we do deserve. So you see the two working together. But in both cases, whether it be God's grace, God's mercy, it is the free, unmerited favor of God. You know, many, when they define grace, they'll say it's simply the free, unmerited favor of God. Well, that's true, but the definition goes further than that, because mercy also is the free, unmerited favor of God. But again, it's God giving us what we do not deserve. God withholding what we do deserve. God's grace and mercy. And when you think of God's grace and mercy, and we ought to see it in every aspect of our life. We see it every single day. Every time we sin against God, we deserve God's wrath. Every time the lost sinner sins against God, he deserves God's wrath right then and there. But God is merciful. And God sends rain upon the ungodly as well as the godly, showing God is gracious. They don't deserve that rain. But God, they don't deserve for their crops to grow, but God is gracious. God is merciful. That's true to all mankind. He's gracious, he's merciful. Now, of course, there's his grace and mercy and salvation. Not all mankind have that, only the saved. But God is gracious and merciful to lost sinners, to the evil, to the wicked, all the time. And again, people say, well, I just don't understand why God doesn't just wipe them out. Because he's gracious. Because he's merciful. We ought to thank God that he is. So as you look at grace and mercy, what you're looking at is two different angles or perspectives of God's free unmerited favor. You're looking at God's free unmerited favor in giving. You're looking at God's free unmerited favor in restraining. And again, we see it all the days of our life. The grace of God reveals the giving nature of God. How thankful we ought to be for the giving nature of God. And it's not based upon our merit, so therefore it's free, unmerited favor. The mercy of God reveals the restraining nature of God. It's his patience. It's his long-suffering, or those are connected to his restraining nature. So, grace and mercy, the grace and mercy of God, reveal that sinners are undeserving of God's blessing. The very word grace reveals that man is undeserving of God's favor. How people can talk of grace and then out of one side of their mouth and then talk about man's favor. They contradict themselves. Grace is proof of man's undeservingness. And on the other hand, mercy is proof that we deserve God's wrath. So the very terms grace and mercy reveal a lot, reveal the depravity of man. That's why, again, most people sing Amazing Grace. Yet what they believe, what they practice is contrary to every verse of that song. And they love the song. But you preach the truth of that song to them, they hate it. They'll say, well, that's the doctrine of hell. They don't understand grace and mercy. They don't understand what grace and mercy says about man. It says that we're unworthy of God's blessing, and it says we're worthy of God's wrath. And is there ever a time when that's not so? Never is. Even at our best, we're still deserving of the wrath of God. So both God's grace and God's mercy are immeasurable. How can you measure God's grace? How can you measure God's mercy? You would have to be able to measure the depths of sin. Can't do that. How many iniquities are in one sin? Only God knows. But as we've said many times, it's not just one sin. In one sin is a multitude of sins. So it's immeasurable. There's no way you can calculate just how gracious, just how merciful God is. And if God's mercy, goodness and mercy, follows me all the days of my life, and I believe that takes us even before salvation, before that, and you count up all your days, and you count up all the sins of your days, and you count up just who we are by nature, how can you possibly calculate that statement, the goodness and mercy of God? It's a follow me all the days of my life. It's incomprehensible. It's just beyond our human reason. You see, because God's grace, God's mercy, has to go beyond, has to be greater than the length, than the width, than the depth, than the height of everything involved in our sins. It has to be greater than that. And that's what the Bible means when it says His grace abounds or His mercy abounds. It's greater. God's mercy is greater than what we deserve. God's grace or God's mercy is greater than what we do deserve. So His mercy and His grace, they are different, but they're always together. Where there is one, there is the other. Now, the psalmist doesn't mention grace. He just says, surely, goodness and mercy. But again, where you see mercy, you see grace. Where you see grace, you see mercy. Now, His mercy would be a branch of His long-suffering. You cannot really talk about the long-suffering of God without talking about the grace and the mercy of God. In my mind, and I've said this before, long-suffering is the long-suffering of God, to me, is one of the most amazing things about God. But it's a part of His grace. It's a part of His mercy. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, God is long-suffering to me and to you all the days of our life. And I believe in order to fully understand long-suffering, which we can't, we would have to fully understand His holiness. You see, holiness is offended by that which is unholy. God in His holiness is offended by that which is unholy. And that's where His long-suffering comes in. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering. The Lord is long-suffering. That doesn't mean there's no end to it. Doesn't say that God's long-suffering is eternal. It's long, but there is an end to it. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. The two are connected. Some of the things that proceed from this is that He forgives iniquity and transgression. But there's another side of God. He by no means clears the guilty. It's because God is gracious and merciful and long-suffering does not mean that He does not punish and condemn the guilty. You see, that's a wrong assumption to say, well, because God's merciful, He loves everybody. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Because God's gracious, He'll save everybody. Well, that's not what it says. God's also a God of wrath. But whenever God expresses His anger, which is His wrath, I promise you He's been gracious and merciful before that. And He's been long-suffering before that. In Psalms 86, and verse 15, but Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Once again, they're all connected. Grace, mercy, long-suffering, they're all different. But they're all connected. Where you have one, you have the other. In the book of Romans, chapter 2. Book of Romans, chapter 2. And verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Long-suffering must have forbearance, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance. Through the forbearance of God. How much forbearance, how much long-suffering did God exercise on our behalf until he brought us in his goodness to repentance? In Romans 9, verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath, this is what if God, he's in a scenario. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? You read on, there's also the vessels of mercy. There are vessels of wrath, there are vessels of mercy. Vessels of wrath will never be saved. Vessels of mercy will always be saved. But God exercises long suffering on both, not in the same way. 1 Peter 3:20, 2 Peter 3:9. Notice 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9, and we'll close. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's talking about a special people, the usward. You go back to chapter 1, verse 1, you see who the usward are. Not willing that any, who's the any? It's the usward. It's the usward. Not willing that any should perish. God's not willing that his elect perish. He's not willing. Therefore, they're not going to. But that all, who's the all? Well, it's the any and the us word. You can't have these three words and make each one of them mean something different. They're all connected. I would suggest to the Arminian not only that they get their minds clear on their doctrine, they need to take a good class in English grammar when they interpret scriptures like this, but that all should come to repentance. God is merciful. God is good. And his goodness and his mercy, which means his grace, follow us all the days of our life. If God's goodness and mercy is not present with me tomorrow, I'm done. Same with you. We need every day, every moment of every day, God's grace, God's mercy. That's why you can go to the who you might consider the most wicked person on earth, and there's hope because God is gracious and God is merciful. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you're gracious. We thank you that you're merciful, you're long-suffering. We thank you, Lord, that your goodness and mercy does follow us, has up to this point, and will continue to follow us all the days of our life. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for this 23rd Psalm. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to live our lives in this Psalm, that it would be our lives. Lord, we pray that you'd meet with us today in a special way. We do pray for those that are lost, that you'd speak to their hearts, open their hearts to salvation. Lord, that you'd save their souls this day, draw each one of us closer to thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.